This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the tense. Starring the tense. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this year's podcast, Ted Smith. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Up there in the top square, beaming in from Austin, Texas. Guess what? I have a cop. Cop, what's going on?
Ted, I'm a married man now. Can't leave that comment in there. It was for comedic effect to make you and Matt have a laugh. What's
hey, what
good,
you
boys?
Do in your marital home? It's everybody's business.
What's up, boys? Let's do it.
Down there at the bottom square, beaming in from the desert, Matt Kama, the producer of MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Good to see you, boys. We're off to a hot start. It's going to be good.
So, real quick, I'm going to talk about I went down to Vegas this weekend. But before we start it, Matt was talking about he's drinking a Stella Artois, non-alcoholic beer. So, and it's great. But there's so many damn NAs now. And, like, hold up that bottle of beer, right? Like, you got to, like, zeros. But, like, you got to kind of look at it to recognize it's NA. And yeah. What was I going to say? We had, like, two cabanas. Shocking. The mayor packed in one cabana. And they're like, you got to get another cabana. So I had just shown up. I'm like, let's get a bucket of beers. And, like, one guy's just drinking a Heineken. I was like, yeah, well, what do we got there? Yeah, we'll do a bucket of those Heineken Zeros. What are those, low calorie? And he's like, no, nah, man. Like, there's no beers. There's no booze in it. I was like, yep, all right. We'll do a bucket of Ultras. But I don't know. I mean, Matt, you could attest. You drink them. I just think, like, my dad used to drink them. He was drinking Sharps and O'Doul's, but, like, there wasn't that many people. Like, I'm impressed how many people I see now. Like, there's one couple I know, and they do the same thing. Like, they just show up with a cooler, but it's just NAs. But, like, you're sitting, it'll be like an hour before you're like, oh, you're not even drinking.
Yeah. No, it's wild. Yeah, when I first started, it was Sharps, O'Doul's, and Beck's and St. Pauli, and that was it. And now it's like I get decision overwhelm at the store and walk out with nothing. I'm like, whatever, dude. I'll just make soda water at home with my soda stream.
Wait, so Matt, help me understand it. I understand, like, some people were big drinkers and now they just, like, do it kind of as a substitute, you know, to, like, continue the behavior. But then, like, are some people just, like, at a Vegas pool party, for instance, do they just, like, want to look like they're drinking instead of just getting a lemonade and a Sprite? Or, like, what's the deal?
That's a good question. I don't know everyone's motives. I think, yeah, in certain environments, it's nice to just have a brew. But yeah, I think some people, I mean, like, I saw, you know, 12 packs of cans of like three different brands, Heineken, Bud Zero. I'm just like, and they're like, you know, regular beer brand. I'm like, are people just like, I need a beer after I get off work, you know, and like just reaching for an NA, or you know, like in the social settings at bars and stuff, I get it. That's where I love it the most and where I do the majority of my NA drinking. I haven't brought NAs to the house in a while. We get hop waters pretty regularly, but like when I saw Stella had the bottles, and I was at the store before the cast, I was like, yeah, we're cracking open some cold ones with the boys tonight. Let's go.
Dude, I think it's both. I think it's gotten to the place now where, if you don't drink anymore, but you watch sports, especially for some of my friends on the East Coast, right? Like sports come on late. So part of the kind of ritual was you didn't have those beers till later in the evening, even though you're just sitting there by yourself. So like I know some people they'll still just, like you're saying, Cobb, just like, all right, went to work, kids are in bed, I'm gonna crack a beer.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, do people just like the taste of beer more than I thought? And does NA beer taste as good as, like alcoholic beer or like, Cloudburst or wherever
I mean,
people
it's
like beer
come.
from?
Athletic helped a ton.
Oh,
Yeah.
that
Just to
phrasing
me,
got me.
yeah. I mean, it's come so far along. It used, you know what I mean? Like, used to be like, and look, I drink pretty light beers, so like O'Doul's or whatever was fine if I tasted it. But I think for the culture now, so many people were into IPAs and stuff that yeah, they do like beer that much.
Yeah, the like the higher end like micro NAs and IPAs and stuff like that I kind of get 'cause that's but like yeah, just the like Budweiser or Heineken and all the like regular beers and just seeing a 12 pack of cans, I was like that's reserved for regular beer. But I think some people like yeah, if someone like you, Ted, if you were on a break or stopped you and you were like, dude, no, I need the regular size cans. I don't want this fancy,
Yeah.
bougie shit. I need just like regular beer for the game this weekend.
I mean, I do it with regular seltzer waters now, right? I buy cans of them. Like, if it's a weekend, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to drink this weekend. Like, I'll find myself drinking a 12 pack of damn seltzer waters while I'm watching football. So it's like habitual. You're like, ah, let's crack a can.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's appealing is like the lack of hangovers.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I forget because I didn't get that bad of hangovers. Everybody's like, you stopped drinking? How bad were the hangovers? I was like, actually, I didn't even really deal with that much. Like,
Well, I would say that, and like, there's also a growing number of people that'll buy them, and like mix them in, right? So even if you already drank like four or five beers, like let's throw in, still tastes like a beer, but put in like basically like a pace car.
yeah.
Probably not as good for you as putting in a couple water, but
Right.
we're
Yeah,
dealing
having a
with
couple
mental
pace cars in
science.
there is nice. It'd be nice if they did like a pack that's like, they'll do like the 12 pack boxes. If it was like half and half, so you can kind of, pop back and forth. Maybe that's too advanced, but that seems like the move. Especially for these companies that have both, like Athletic's strictly NA, but like
That's what I'm
Stella or
saying.
Corona's NA is real good. And Corona's fun because you put the lime in it.
Yeah, see? I
Put
mean,
the lime in.
ritual, the ritual helps, man.
And
Yeah,
even
ritual
this,
is powerful.
because I haven't had NA out of a bottle at home because I always drink Athletic out of cans. Like, so many of them are cans. Like, finding the lighter and popping the top off this thing felt so f-ing good, dude.
Yeah. I mean, look, even for me, Saturday night, at a certain point, right? Like, we had all kinds of drinks and champagne. I was like, I just want a beer. Like, I want to taste a cold beer.
Yeah, that's true, especially, in hot Vegas. I mean, they just you only have so many cocktails.
My line was, I'm in a sea of vodka seltzers. Can I just get one f-ing beer?
Yeah, water everywhere and not a drop to drink, baby.
Right. Let's see. I did go down to Vegas. Cobb, you were there with me over the summer. You saw Dead and Company at the Sphere. I don't know how to explain it. It was better. Like the
Oh,
vis
yeah.
like some of the visuals, a couple of them were the same, but I don't know. It seemed even cooler than the last time I went.
Well, dude, I've been researching some behind the scenes stuff on that, and like the technology is just so new that what I heard was there's only two companies in the world that really like were asked to bid on the job of doing the visuals, and one of the two said no because it's just so complex. And so I think they're still trying to figure out what it's capable of. You know, I mean, there's just never been that large of like a bent digital screen. And so, you know, they're trying to pump these things out day and night, but it's like, I mean, you know, you saw with like the Anima show, it was supposed to be 2 days at the end of 2024, and he ended up doing, I think, 11 nights or something. Like, it's crazy, but they're just making the visuals like better and better each night. And it's like, you know, we are just at the very beginning of that curve. Like, that thing's going to, I'll tell you what, Ted, a year from now, it's going to be even crazier.
Yeah. Well, and I know they have kind of like those mini versions for like sports bars. Like, I know there's one in LA. I almost want to say they're opening one in like Chicago and New York, which would make sense, right? Like, those are the three biggest cities, that and San Fran. But same thing, like, you sit in there and you're watching football or soccer, but it's like you're in the stadium because it's that close, you know, it's that immersive.
Dude, I didn't know that, but I've been like on this soapbox for years that getting like the Oculus kind of goggles, it'd be cool if they took one of the prime seats in the stadium, like one courtside seat, and just made it one of those cameras so you could sit courtside at any game. But now it's sounding like with those spheres, like those mini spheres or whatever you're talking about, like, yeah, you could have like a whole bar sitting courtside. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a big place and like you got tables and everything, but everybody's facing the screen.
Dude, that's, I mean, I guess I think that sounds awesome. I will say, like, philosophically, I'm kind of on the opposite. Like, we don't have a TV in the living room so that, like, you sit and actually talk with people. The entire bar forced to face a giant, you know, edge-to-edge vision screen is wild, but I could see it actually being pretty cool.
Kov, I was just picturing – that's a great idea about the Oculus, like, just being on the 50-yard line or courtside. But I was also just imagining, like, Ted and I sitting on his couch – both with our own goggles on, and like the Hawks score, and we're just like jumping into each other, like, oh, my bad, dude.
Yeah, dude, that would be awesome. Like trying to hug each other.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like when Maryland beat Colorado State, like they would have gotten broken.
Dude, this might be too much of an ask on the podcast. You guys can feel free to pass, but have either of you guys experienced VR pornography?
Yes.
No. You can hear the disappointment.
Yes.
Ted, I wasn't sure if you're like, no, don't say that. I'm like, it's the podcast, baby. We, yeah.
No, I'm more just like, no, like, no, I haven't.
Also, yeah. An early adopter way back in the day.
Is it that much better?
It was before I met Tyler.
Wow.
That's how long ago I found those. And there was just like some like crappy like cardboard Velcro like 3D thing, and I didn't like, you know, there's a limited selection online, but it's right. It's intense, bro. It's right. Like
sounds like it's time to dust off the old goggles.
Well, it was fun too, because then I'm like back in like, oh, I'm watching preview porn now, like. There was an era where preview porn was all you just get these 30-second clips. These days, you know, they were like 10 minutes or whatever, but it's still like cutting to see. It was just like, whoa, but it was like having it. It was like creepy how amazing it was. Like, I was like, this is too real, dude.
All right. So I do know a story about a group of guys on like a guy's trip. Let's say it's a golf trip or something. And basically they got to go. But the one guy is just not like, you know, he's in his room. So finally they like open the door and the guy just has no idea that the door is open. He's clearly watching his VR porn on his headset and just going to town.
Cranking down. God, that's all. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm also like, I'm for whatever, right? VR porn, like, I did for a while have a, what was the little, what were
please,
they called?
Please say AI girlfriend, please.
No, the Fleshlight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Made here in Austin.
I mean, that's a different experience on a Saturday than just crank it down.
Sure is, yeah. Jim.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, talking just you like talking about piecing together those like pre-roll clips. I'm like, that is the adult male version of making a collage, you know?
Yeah. If anyone remembers the days of worldsex.com, I'm just gonna throw that. It was like the Pornhub back in the day. It was like one of the top 10 most visited sites. So I'm sure some people out there do. But yeah, there was a period there in like the late 2000s where, all you got was previews. But you had just graduated to video, so like a 30-second video was like the new frontier, and you were so excited about it.
Yeah, you could
Oh
watch it
yeah.
like 5 times in a row.
Right. And I just go, yeah, it was wild. And I gotta say, with the VR, I could only do it with headphones one time. That was like too immersive.
Yeah, dude, I agree. It was like a little too immersive where, when someone comes into your personal space, like your personal bubble, like they're talking to you like a foot from your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel that like kind of maybe it's like a disgust sensitivity thing. I'm not quite sure, but you do feel like a reaction, like you want to pull back away from them, plural. And yeah, it's just like it's a bizarre experience. Pretty cool, but it was a little too much for me also, Matt. Same thing. One and done. It was like, all
It
right, that was too real.
it's gotta be close to like heroin. Like I could feel like, oh, this is a slippery slope. I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wrong. So, Matt, direct quote from you. You're saying women will be obsolete. Just kidding.
I'm just saying, like, I could see
Well,
where that path could have led me, and I hit the eject button.
oh, brother, and think about AI getting involved with that, where it's like, trying
Think
to
about the sex
maximize for
dolls.
stimulation.
Yeah.
Think about those sex dolls, right? I mean,
Sure, and then pair them with AI, make them sex robots, bro. Put those hands
yeah.
together.
No
I just don't think they'll
PMS.
re I don't think they'll replace having sex with a woman, though.
You're gonna
Well,
get close.
I mean, I wonder
Yeah.
if sex is down because of porn or up because of porn. Because I really could see a case either way. It wasn't rhetorical, but I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah, right?
But to me, like watching porn is like going to the batting cage when you play baseball, right? Like it's fun, but eventually you want to go play a game, you know?
Eventually, it's time to get out there on that diamond.
Yeah, and like the sex robot, okay, we've upped it. We're scrimmaging, but it's still not a real game.
I
I mean, you got to imagine with AI though, at some point it would get better than humans, right? Because it's just maximizing for like a feedback loop of your pleasure.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I that one always like porn even like I don't know. It is a slope there, right? Like I know what I'm into, what I'm not into, and just like no kink shaming, but just like the BDSM stuff just isn't my thing.
What does that have to
But
do with having a sex with a robot?
right, I'm always afraid, like, I don't know, man. Am I gonna get into like rough stuff? Like, I think I'm good.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, so they do say like multiple studies have shown like watching porn of any kind does make people like graduate towards more extreme like drives and behaviors because you're trying to satisfy that dopaminergic reward system, and you always, of course, need new novelty and more stimulation to do it. More dopamine or serotonin, and so yeah, people do kind of start off like if you were to start off with something sort of soft core, they get into more and more like aggressive, intense porn as the like addiction or interest like spirals.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, like, I don't know. That's what always worries me about, like, super rich people. It's like, you're into so much, like, you got to find something else to do. You know what I mean? Like, on First Hill, there's this, I don't know if it's still there, on the corner of, like, Bourne and Madison, there's, like, this famous, like, club, right? Where it's, like, all the old rich guys go hang out. And, like, when I lived up there, I'd always be like, I know what's going on in there, man. It's like, like that scene from the one movie, like ass to ass. Like I bet it's like weird sex stuff going on in there, and like I don't know. You get too many guys together already, it gets a little weird and homoerotic. Then you get a bunch of old rich white guys together, or just rich guys in general. I'm like, I bet it gets weird as f.
Ted, I love that like most people are worried about like billionaires like plundering the planet or like enslaving everyone, and you're like, man, they just get some crazy fetishes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, dude, I have a story for you off cast that just remind me when we get done. I'll make a note right now.
Cobb, I don't know if you've been there. It was recommended to me at a tailgate by another mutual friend of ours, but when I was in Vegas, I did stop at that Stage Door Casino.
Oh,
Yeah, of
yeah.
course I've been there. That's my go-to. That's unreal. So we stopped in early in the day. By the way, me and my buddy, I mean, we are just a hired strike force team for when you need fun in one day in Vegas. I mean, I got up at 4 a.m. We make a flight, we get in there, we hit the stage door. Punish, absolutely punish a $6 bucket of Bud Lights.
Yes.
Matt, that's six Bud Lights, dollar a pop.
That's Oh yeah, they
incredible.
got hot dogs. They got like roller hot dogs.
And
It's like
this is
attached to a gas station.
on the strip.
It's just
Just
off the
off.
strip, like
Okay.
behind like the Links, I think. The Links? Yeah, the
No,
Links.
it was for a long time behind the Flamingo, same
It is behind
block.
the Flamingo. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, Stage Door for people who are interested. Great way to just have a couple beers to start your evening. Go ahead, Ted. Sorry.
I will say though, security was tight. There was cops outside while we pulled up. Like, I don't know that I'd be in there at 1 in the morning,
Oh, yeah.
but for the middle of the day, and then like the couple next to us, the dude was cool. His wife was a smoke show. But it's only like 11:30, and I was like, "Hey man, you guys come out here all the time?" And they're like, "Yeah man, they're from North Carolina." So this is just like start the day with some cheap beers, and she just starts laughing, and he's like, "Wow." She doesn't drink too much, but yeah. And I go, oh, not judging. I go, we just got off an airplane. This was our first stop. So, like,
Dude,
no
that's a
worries.
great way to come into Vegas. Yeah, man, if you want dollar beers and a couple roller hot dogs and a little video poker to kind of like get the engines going, Stage Door's the place to do it. I mean, you're not going to feel great about yourself walking in there. You'll feel a lot better when you walk out.
Yeah. And there's a liquor store next door. So we got 12 pack of White Claws and a bottle of champagne for the room.
I mean, Ted, what is it like, it's basically like what, a bar slash gas station slash liquor store kind of combined, or how do you describe it? I haven't been there in a couple years.
To me, it's one half liquor store, one half bar, but technically it is a casino because they have like video poker at the bar. But
And
to me, it just seems like half of it is the package store, the other half is the bar.
it's like essentially like what, smaller than Buckley's?
It's pretty tiny.
Yeah.
But
Good
during the
spot
day, it
though.
was funny, man. Like, it was just like that couple was in there, and you could just tell, like, there's just locals that hang out in there.
Oh yeah, that's like I think a lot of people who like work on the strip go there after work or before.
Yeah, maybe I'd go there after work if I thought it was that crowd. I don't know. I was just like, I could just easily see people in Vegas being like, we're going to the Stage Door. And then like somehow there's just fights.
Oh yeah.
Don't
Oh
curse.
yeah.
I got up to get another NA beer and goes, don't curse.
Nice. Yeah, but yeah, if you gotta just hammer down a couple beers before you end the strip, I like that you guys hit that at 11. That was really the right call, especially since you've never been there before, like not knowing, but coming off a plane, Stage Door is just like, okay. Like it's like pole starting a gas mower, you know? Just
Yeah.
like, let's go. Like Vegas, Vegas, Vegas. And like
Well,
when
and
that thing turns on.
we're only there for the day, right? We know we're going to the Sphere. We know we're going to go hang out at the pool. It's like you could plan stuff, but realistically, it's like, are we going to make it back here? Like, right? It's 10 minutes from the airport, 10 minutes from our hotel. Like, let's just stop in there now.
I love that move. Just coming
Yeah.
in on a high. Like, you guys are a good strike force for the day.
Yeah, right. Well, when we were sitting at the airport, like, merely 24 hours, 23 hours later, we're just looking at each other like, oh man, I feel terrible. Like, we got here, we're checked in. I don't know who else I could do this with. Kyle, me and you could probably do it,
Oh,
but
yeah, brother. No
does your a
problem.
lot of my
Start with an.
friends are not morning people or a job. Just like, I have a lot of buddies I love, but I'm like, we couldn't do this. It'd be a pain in the butt.
Does your name
Ted,
start
all I
with
need is a
R or
20-minute power
S?
nap.
It's funny you bring up the power nap. I literally we went to the pool. I had a hard cutoff for myself at 3:30, and it was like 3:35. I was like, I gotta go upstairs, and then like our
That's
other
my time.
friends, yeah, like people came up there to change or whatever. And I was like, I'm just laying like I think maybe I closed my eyes for like 10 or 20 minutes, but then It was like chaos around me. I was like, nope, I'm just laying in this bed. You guys be as loud as you want. It's fine. And another good friend of ours, he did the same thing. He's like, I'm just going to curl up in the corner on the floor. Like, you guys do whatever. You're fine.
Dude, that's the Oprah Winfrey power nap. I love it. I seriously, the key to my success on any trip like that, any bachelor party, like you give me 20 minutes in the afternoon, I'll be an early riser and a late night contender.
Actually, I did it before your wedding.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, 20 minute power nap is key. Just a little something, just kind of shut down the engines and recharge the batteries. So what was the highlight of Vegas, you think?
Man, that's tough. I mean, the pool is awesome. You guys will appreciate this. I mean, that pool at the Encore, there's just, the scenery is unreal. So, like, you know, we're having fun. Everybody's down there. Cabanas, right? Like, frozen espresso martinis. I mean, you name it, right? They, like, frozen mojitos. Mojitos, Matt. Frozen.
That's huge.
It's unreal. But, like, there's this one couple, like, up on the pool, and the dude's in a Kentucky hat, good shape, right? He's all ripped up. But, like, his wife, Jesus, man, tattoos and just fake giant ones, boys. So, like,
couple of bolt-ons.
I have my shades on, but, like, and somehow our group had kind of, like, gotten around them.
There's like literally 20 my of first us. Question.
So they're all 100%. I listen, if you ever go to a pool in Vegas, especially at the Encore of the Wind, bring your sunglasses. You're not going to be able to survive.
Said, I'm just picturing you with like the blade sunglass on, but then just your mouth open. Ted, come on, dude.
Cobb, you remember the first time we went to Burning Man and that one chick talking to us. Right? And like, as soon as she walked away, you're just like, yeah, dude, you should have been wearing shades. It's like, I just, it sounds so horrible. It was just so hard to look at her in the eyes when she was talking. They were just hanging out.
It was a, it, you know, I felt like she was sent there as a test. And some of us passed, and some of us didn't.
So our group at this pool has kind of encased this couple, right? So they're like, but nobody's really talking to them. So I was like, somebody should talk to them. I go, plus, I just want to talk to them in general. So yada, yada, yada. I just open up, you know, you guys from Kentucky? Yeah, we're from Kentucky. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Like, guy I went to high school with played down there. Me and the dude talk for 20 minutes about basketball. But same thing, I walk back over, and one of our friends is like, you just couldn't help yourself, huh? You had to go talk to him. I was like, I told you, I had to.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah, so, that I mean, pool is incredible.
Yeah, right? I mean, you've been there with me. So that was good. Man, the Dead Show. Just the visuals are amazing, but then just like the people, man, like the suite next to us was talking to a guy that basically was like the GM of what's it, Mount Myth? Some famous mountain, skiing mountain.
Oh, Mammoth?
Mammoth. I was like, no, you know, that's awesome. And like, yeah, I was getting along with him. Like just a really good, I mean, hey, it's 2020 vibe. It was great vibes.
We're back, baby. Coming Dude, back.
Ted, I like Ted's that, on. Ted. Ted's yeah. in. This is his year now.
Dip season then, is over. Vegas engaged.
Yeah. And then that one bar we go to at the Wynn, it's like the crowded bar. I mean, it's packed after that show, man. And we just hold court in there. It's unbelievable.
That's always a great feeling.
Yeah.
Like when you're just absolutely holding court, like a very popular spot. It's so fun. And you and the mayor are so good at it, you know, just naturally.
Right. Do you understand with the mayor? I was like, I'm gonna see him. Goddamn Vakasonis. Like, can I get a beer?
My kingdom for a beer. Jesus. Right. Which bar in the Wynn? Were you guys over by the elevators or by the kind of like outdoor area?
Nah, the elevators, like we were last time.
Love that bar. Nice.
Right. And then the other thing too is, Matt, to get up to the suites and everything, you got to check your card in, but the elevators are right behind this bar. So, I mean, the people watching is phenomenal.
Oh, I mean, it's so good.
Yeah. I think that's why I invented the game, like, hot chick or working chick? I can't tell.
Yeah, business or pleasure?
But no, just awesome time. And then, what was I going to say? Sunday was pretty quiet. Watched a little basketball, but yeah, you go to Vegas for 24 hours. It takes it out of you.
Yeah, you got to leave it all on the court. You know, no one's expecting a big Sunday. No. Ice up, recover for the week.
Well, a few people, a lot of people weren't flying out to the evening, and they were like, we got late checkouts, so we're going to sleep in. When I was at the airport hating life, I was jealous. But then when it was already 1:30, 2 p.m., and I was sitting on my couch, I was like, this was the right call.
It is, dude. I'm always tempted to get like that 6 p.m. home Vegas flight on Sunday. Like, I'll just kind of chill out on Sunday. Even if the flight is like god awful early, take it. You want to get out of there on Sunday morning, not Sunday night. And yeah, definitely not Monday morning. Made that mistake a couple times, boys.
I had one of those coming back from F1. I mean, it was fine because I'd had too much fun watching football during the day on Sunday, so I went to bed pretty early. But yeah, that flight, there was people hurting on them. You get on a Monday 10 a.m. flight, people are not pumped.
Ted, do you ever just go like hang out at the sports book in Vegas? Do you enjoy that?
So I do, but man, you know, the mayor had a cabana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't expect in the 24 hours. It's been kind of in general. Like, you're such a sports junkie. That's a great place to do it. It's like, you know, 20, 30 TVs, hang out, play some bets, drink some beers.
Yeah. Especially some of those places have really good deals.
Oh, yeah. And you guys are there during March Madness, too. Fun.
Yeah. Like, I know, especially in the fall, like, you can reserve like these luxury chairs and you already prepay like, what's it, like 80 or 100 bucks for on your tab? Like, so I'm with you. I'd like to do it. I love hanging out at sports books, but yeah, in 24 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I was sitting in the pool. So he's like, hey, man, we're going to go to the sports book. Aren't you coming? And I was like, just does it look like I'm fucking getting out of this pool? Like, get real.
Look at me. I'm in a pool in Vegas surrounded by women in bikinis. No, I'm fine.
Right? I'm like, I'm drinking a frozen mojito.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sure the sports book's a lot better. That's like where you can get caught up in that, like, we call it rooftop deck theory, but just like, you know, the pursuit of always like something better. It's like sometimes you just got to look around and you're like, man, it's pretty good. Like, I'm on a rooftop pool, bunch of women, you know, amazing drinks. Like, I'm good, man.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Twins game.
What's it, the UFL? The spring football? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Speaking of sports, real quick, did you guys see the torpedo bats this weekend?
I don't even know what that is.
So this like nerd guy.
Ted, guy? We're nerds.
But he's like a super nerd, like, you know, tech and nerd. And then he gets into baseball, and he's invented a new baseball bat. So a few teams have them, but the Yankees specifically have them, and they cranked 9 homers in a game on Saturday. And everybody's like, these torpedo bats, like, shouldn't be legal. Basically, he moved the fattest part of the barrel just down a little bit closer to the hands.
Whoa. And it's like, and it's causing people to just, oh, so what previously was the thickest part of the barrel at the end of the bat?
Yeah.
And he made it so it goes out and then back in.
Right. Just not a ton, but right. It kind of looks like a torpedo or like, I don't know. Yeah. Say like a 1941 grenade or 19 World War I grenade. But I don't, here's the issue though. First of all, whoever the Yankees were playing have a terrible pitching staff. You still have to hit the ball. And like the Twins or some other team had them all weekend. And they weren't cranking homers. So, like, I think it does help a little bit. And the guy's, like, a hitting coach now. But I'm telling you, he was, like, a nerd that got obsessed with it, got into baseball, and was like, I think there's a better way to make these bats.
Oh, yeah. He used to work for the Yankees front office, and now he works for the Miami Marlins, Aaron Leanhart.
Yeah. So you'll probably get to the point, though, it's like there's nothing illegal about it. Because baseball's rules are very simple. It's got to be made from a bat, needs to be made from one piece of wood. Can't be wider at any point than whatever the dimensions are. And something else. But like, it matches. It's a legal bat.
The intent is to improve a player's chances of barreling the ball and reduce the likelihood of whiffing. Wow. I mean, also, they must work if they got the Yankees to use them. You know what I mean? Like, you test that out in BP, right?
Yeah.
Especially for opening day. Like, you don't just come out swing, like, oh, I'm going to try this bat out for the first time in front of a home crowd, you know?
Well, I think baseball's also just so old, and it's never really changed. It's like, this isn't bad. I think it'll be good for the game. I mean, Matt, you're a golfer. How many different putters and putting strokes have you seen? I mean, you watch professionals with those weird putters.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's and with golf, like, yeah, the USGA sets it, but there's like a set of specifications that they all have to fall under, and you know, millions and millions of dollars go into R&D for it every year, and you know, they're all playing by the same rules. And if this bat is conforming to the same rules that have always been there, but no one was really like innovating and pushing boundaries, and you know, it sounds like this guy wasn't like indoctrinated and was just like kind of an outsider at first and just like started from square one and then was able to like come up with a completely new thing that still is within the specifications they put out.
Question the sacred cow.
Yeah.
Right. So a lot of people, I just want to hear guys' thoughts. A lot of people are like, they shouldn't use them. Like, it's illegal. It's like, again, it fits the specs.
Yeah. They're saying it's illegal. Shut up. We want to see people bomb homers. Right. That's like, yeah, go ahead.
As I say, it was like during the steroid era. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, you still had to hit the ball. Like, they were all juiced up. But like, I don't know. It's not like people weren't watching baseball.
Dude, same thing with like the playoff in the NHL and like, yeah, we want more goals, more scores. Anything we can do to get that, sure. Like, I mean, I never liked the argument like, oh, it sacrifices the integrity of the game. It's like, this is an entertainment product. Like, sorry to make it that cold. It's like, let's go out there. Let's see some people bomb some home runs. Let's drink some beers in the outfield, toast with our friends and have a good time.
Well, and with baseball, like, I don't know. I mean, like a perfect game's tight or whatever, but like, I don't know, a pitcher strike, like with football, they've kind of done the same thing to boost touchdowns, and they've banned a lot of like defense and like the bone crushing hits that I grew up loving are getting taken out of the game.
Yeah, the head tackles are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't feel like you lose.
What'd you say?
The head tackles, man.
Oh.
Night Train Lane style, dude.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them. I'm with Matt. Go ahead. Oh. Finish your thought, Matt.
Well, I was just I don't think you lose the entertainment value in baseball by guys blasting more home runs. Whereas some of the ways the NFL's boosted offense has limited, you know, most of that's under the guise of safety, and they have some points. I'm not discrediting that, but like, it's not as exciting. Like, I liked Cam Chancellor laying out Vernon Davis, and you know, when you watch those montages of guys in the 70s through 90s just leveling dudes, it's like, that is exciting.
It's a tough line, right? Because the wide open offenses are fun, right? Super fun. It's not like I'm going to sit here and get mad and not go nuts during a 41-37 game. But there's something guttural and just fun about like seeing a big hit, right? What I always say, let the pads pop, right? Yeah, like, also, that's exactly part of football. Like, it does bug me, like Tyreek Hill. Like, that guy couldn't exist like 20 years ago. Like, what's he going to run a fucking slant or come across the middle? Like, he would get dominant.
Yeah. Easy.
Sorry.
Tyreek's a listener. Be careful.
If Tyreek Hill listens to this podcast, that'll be unbelievable. The cheetah. What's up, cheetah? I'm just so I don't know. But the baseball thing, I'm just like, I don't know, man. Seems awesome. Like, good for that guy for inventing a new bat.
Oh, yeah. I mean, imagine tennis if we were still using those little 70s rackets, the wood ones. That would be insane.
Yeah. Like, imagine some of the courses the pros play on. I'll just go back to golf and be like, no. The shaft is steel. The head of the driver is wood.
Yeah. Like, gotta be real wood. It's like, are you kidding me? How am I going to smash it? Like, I mean, yeah. It's like, you know, 208 yards off the tee box. Yeah, it's like, not quite as exciting.
And don't worry, when you get close to the green, there's no chance this ball will have any spin on it.
Yeah, it's a par 7. It's like, oh. That'd be tough. That'd be tough.
You don't play from the blacks anymore, do you, fella?
Seriously, getting a lot of help from R&D.
All right. I always expect Kyle to be more on the sports stuff. He's like, ah, haven't heard of this. I'm like, torpedo bat's taking over the news.
I like it because he goes and looks it up and he brings like some credibility and facts. Like, I feel like I always just have bits and pieces of stuff and our attention's so fragmented. Ted, I know you prep for the men's room, so you go in depth on some of these things more, but like Cobb just comes in with like breaking research that he's doing live on the cast.
I'm like, what are these things? Who is this guy? What are we talking about here? I know, I actually always feel bad because Ted is so good with like, you know, pop culture or whatever, and he's like very timely on it. He's like, hey, everybody's talking about this thing, and then I'm always just a deer in the headlights, like, I've never heard of Kylie Jenner, Ted. I don't know what you want me to say.
All right, you know what, the other note I had for today, did you what do you guys think about Morgan Wallen walking off SNL?
What, he walked off mid-show?
Now, see, god damn it, I didn't even bring it up because I was like, he hasn't seen this. Now, at the end of the show, instead of when they say thank you, instead of turning around and saying thanks to the cast, he just walked straight off into the front. And then he posted a picture of his private jet, said, I got to get back to God's country. Get me back to God's country.
Was so he that's upset why you see it. Or he just didn't know how it goes down or what?
I don't know. I wanted your view on it because there's a lot of things back and forth. Some people think he was being a dick. Some people think it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, I don't know. You know,
I saw it. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I thought it was kind of funny. Just like the content, and I was kind of like, who cares, it's not a big deal, but seeing people freak out, and I don't think, I mean, maybe he knew it would stir up controversy, but like, if he doesn't like SNL, he could have just not done SNL.
So Cobb, it just, like, SNL's, they're celebrating their 50th year. That's just, outside of Prince, everybody, you turn around and the guest host, the musical guest, and you shake their hand and you say good job or something to the cast. I mean, he still could have done like two good jobs, faked it, and walked out the back. But it'd be to me, it just feels like us three are out to dinner, right? You guys have your girls, I got this chick with me. And then I'm like, all right, dinner was great. And I walk out through the kitchen. You'd be like,
well,
the hell's he doing?
Well, so it sounds like with what I'm reading here that he refused to do a sketch that they had planned for him. So Joe Jonas jumped in at the last minute and he was just like, quote unquote, not super friendly to deal with. And so, you know, they were going to try to do like some pre-taping and stuff and he just was not into it. And so like as soon as he was done with like his exact commitment, he was out. So something must have rubbed him the wrong way. But not super friendly is the exact quote.
I like the guy's music. Sometimes I'm just like, you're making it hard to like you, dude.
Last night we let the liquor talk. Yeah, I like it too.
All right. Well, there you go. Let's take a break here. Maybe a commercial, maybe not, but we'll be back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. And thanks to our number one sponsor of always, The Desert, home of Matt and Las Vegas. And Burning Man.
Desert Power.
Oh, I like that. Pop open that bottle.
Number three. Let's go. Finish strong.
All right, Cobb, do we have some emails?
Oh, yeah, boys. All right. First of all, we talked about the ads and we heard about it. Ads. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
There have never been any ads in the break when I downloaded the pod here in Australia. The same can't be said for sports on what advertising on the men's room pod, though. It's on every break. How about the podcast in Melbourne for the Formula Un 2026? LARP on and go Terps. Aaron from Melbourne.
Yeah, Aaron, we have talked about it. also, the Sports fun. On What app, that I like that app. I like the people that make that, so it's cool. I hope that takes off for them.
All right, so we had two other guys weigh in about the ads. It sounds like it's like 50-50. Spotify, people are getting ads. Some people aren't, whatever. So I guess we still You know, we take ad breaks, and if you don't get ads, feel blessed. Cop Topic. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
2025 is our year. When it comes to the internet, and I'm sure it's a common answer, but Instagram Reels can steal so much of your time. Before you know it, you've missed half the show you were watching because you started scrolling during an ad break. The latest trend? People getting reunited with their lost pets. Very powerful stuff. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, boys. LARP on. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yeah, Jeremy, you're right. Instagram, you can't get caught up in there. I mean, Matt and I were just talking about freezer tarps and cheddar and two-turnt Tony. I mean, it happens quick.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I don't get a lot of reuniting of pets. Mine is pretty much bros, boobs, and barbecue.
That's what I'd want from a guy on a show called The Men's Room, to be honest. My internet addiction. Reddit is a problem for me. I was off of it for about 2 years and recently fell off the wagon for a couple months before quitting again about a month ago. I'll very quickly start looking at political subreddits and getting into arguments with people. Isaac. Yeah, fair, man. I mean, you're never going to win an argument on the internet, you know? Like, everyone kind of loses in a weird way, but I did download whatever that thing is called, Opal, and it's been really helpful for getting off almost all that stuff.
Yeah, the argument online to me just isn't worth it. Like, you could post an article, but like, right, people aren't going to back down. And again, written word is just different than the spoken word, right? Yeah. We can all sit here. You can see my reactions, right? We might completely disagree, but I go, all right. Like, I follow what you're saying. But yeah, written word, when I say, all right, follow what you're saying, you could hear it like that. Or you can hear me be like, all right, I see what you're saying.
There's no nuance.
Correct. It's like f*** off. Like, I love saying f*** off, but usually I mean it in a nice way. Like, you text that, people are like, what's this about?
Yeah, that's true. That's a bad text.
Doesn't quite come across.
No. You've done it.
Definitely did it to a check. I thought we had watched enough soccer. All right, I guess not.
Jesus, Ted. How's the dating life going?
Yeah.
Bombs like that. Oh man, that's amazing.
Yep. It's going.
It's going. Oh, brother.
Oh, all right, let's check in with what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Before we get to what's mattening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out what's mattening.
All right. Tyler, my girlfriend, came home. She was in Seattle, so she came back on Saturday. We hit In-N-Out. Sunday.
What'd you get?
Flying Dutchman.
Oh, is that the onion one?
No, it's just patties and cheese and grilled onions. And it's on a little piece of parchment paper. And like, yeah, right. I just realized one time with the protein style one, I was like, dude, I come here a lot just for the beef and the cheese. Like, it's so good. And protein style can get a little messy. It's not always the best piece of lettuce. It's not always crafted, you know, the most user-friendly. And so it can get a little hit or miss with the lettuce option. And I was like, dude, meat and cheese is like, you can get just that. One of my friend's wives told me that, and she's my friend too. One of my friends told me that. And I was like, Flying Dutchman. And then now they're one of my goat, you know, I'd say at least half the time, that's what I'm getting. I'm having one tonight after the cast. She's bringing one back.
Yeah. But I mean, that is what I meant by the onion one, because the onions basically are the buns.
No, that's a different thing. I don't know the name for that. One of my clients does that, where you replace the buns with onions. Yeah, this is like just patties and cheese and the diced grilled onions on the top.
Is it called bunions? Because it should be.
Ooh.
That is good. Yeah, then Sunday was action packed. We walked down to Keedy's, as we do.
Nice. Oh, I had a nice conversation with Mrs. Mayor.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to May.
Oh, I'm so amped, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so walked to Keedy's, and then we hiked up to the cross. Cobb, you and I did that.
Yeah, I love it.
I did that in these new barefoot sandals that I have, and that's quite the experience. Get a lot of feedback from the ground. But
what is that? Is that just, is a barefoot sandal just walking barefoot?
No, it's like the thinnest piece of rubber, or, you know, some sort of rubber-esque compound that holds up really well. And so, yeah, you're just out there. I didn't wear a shirt. I didn't wear underwear. It was just like shorts, these sandals, and a camelback. And just like, let's go, dude.
Man versus desert.
Yeah, it was sick. It was super fun. We came down some new way, but the trail went through people's property, and they had like cameras and like a speaker recording go, like they don't want people on that trail, and they let us know, so we just walked down the road. It was pretty funny. Right. I'm like standing there, it starts like talking to us as we're walking away, and there's like six no trespassing signs like trying to block the trail. Like, you could get around it if you wanted to, but there's like cameras pointed at you. And then like, we were like, dude, we'll just take the road. It's fine. And then as we were walking away, it started like talking about, I was like, what are they saying? I wanted to go back, but I was like, I feel like I'm being watched and someone's got like a rifle pointed at me. So I'm just going to get the hell away from this property. It's an effective deterrent. it was nuts. And so then we came home, and then we went out to Desert X again. There's like new installations. And one of them was the sickest one of the bunch. It was like this kind of spirally maze that you walk through with these big like plexiglass that refract the sunlight through like a prism. And like all the rainbow everywhere, and it was just like really cool and immersive walking through it. And it was super windy that day. My bucket hat blew away. I had to full-on sprint to catch it, like, and I couldn't stop sprinting. It did not stop. Like, by the time I caught it, I had sprinted down the side of the road, and then it blew into the road as a car started coming towards me. And I was like, I didn't come this far. And then I went out into the road. It slowed down on the road. I had to like reach down and grab it while I'm still have all my momentum carrying me forward at full speed as the car was, I almost fell in the middle of the road, but I stuck the landing somehow, and I think I looked like a badass, but I probably looked a little bit stupid as well. I'm pretty sure.
Damn it. I just respect sprinting in the middle of the road and like not stopping, just full momentum. Like, that's tough not to fall over.
That's my fucking Sherman's bucket hat. Like, I'm not losing that to this goddamn wind.
Not today, Satan.
Yeah. They're $20. Like, I could have easily, I know right where to get it. It's right down the street, but yeah, on principle, it was tight. And then we walked, came home. That was a drive out there. And then we came home, and then we walked down to California Pete's Kitchen for dinner and back. So like somewhere around 8 miles, 20,000 plus steps on the day. Nice. Between Keedy's, the hike, and dinner. It was a great day.
That's getting it done.
Yeah. And sometimes I do these show and tells. I got new irons.
Oh, excellent.
Nice.
Go ahead. I can't hear you. I think you turned your mic off. Oh, he's got new irons.
New irons, no mic.
That's what he's gonna buy next, is a new mic.
Oh, he's looking stressed over there too. He's panicking. I wonder if he can hear us.
He definitely can.
He can hear us, but we definitely can't hear him. Wow, mid-segment too. That's brutal.
I wish people could see how proud he is too of these clubs. And it's like, what do you have to add about that? Yeah. He's like,
yeah, he's beaming. Yeah, he I just heard the end of something.
You can hear me on my regular computer, Mike.
Yeah.
So I got new irons. Someone said the white grips, like, this guy's way better than me. And his wife told him, you're not good enough for white grips. So I'm definitely not good enough for white grips. But I got them. Shout out to the brand Sub 70. If anybody's looking for new clubs, check them out online. But yeah, they're the same length. So like all my irons in traditional sets of golf clubs, they're all different lengths, and it just like messes with the physics of it. And yeah, Bryson uses these single length ones, and Sub 70 seemed like a solid brand to get from it. Like, there's not a lot of companies that make it. So I got the single length irons, and I haven't used them yet because it's been windy as hell, so I can't get accurate data at the driving range.
I like that. Well, yeah, I mean, that's why you go to the that's why you go to the range, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go down to the PGA Superstore. They have simulators, and you get your exact numbers with those. All right. I'm gonna go get it all dialed in there because, yeah, golf season's almost here for me.
All right, nice. Well, with that said, I think it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
All right, so this is sort of a bizarre one, but so we've been talking about how 2025 is our year, right? And I was talking to a friend of mine who went through some kind of traumatic experiences, and we were talking about just sort of the idea of rewiring your brain, or really the idea of like replacing a few lines of software in your brain with other lines of software. So like a belief that you hold that colors your life. So, you know, I don't have a good example off the top of my head. Like, you know, people are generally untrustworthy. It would be a belief that then colors, you know, thousands of interactions over your life and really change the course of your life. So replacing something like that, like, you know, people are friendly and trustworthy, whatever. Anyway, so we got to talking, and at one point I was just like, you know, like, what would it take to make this the greatest year of your life? And he thought about it, and the thing he came back with was losing 15 pounds by the time we go to this music festival. And I was like, bro, you could do that in like 20 days. That's very doable. And, you know, just the fact that that was the thing that he said would like make it the greatest year ever, I was like, oh, well, that feels totally achievable. Like, you should do that. And then it got me thinking, like, you know, what would make 2025 the greatest year of my life? And I didn't really have an answer. So that's the Cobb topic this week. Feel free to email us. What would make 2025 the greatest year of your life? It could be something that you would do or something that happens, if you want to just go more, you know, less personal. But just think about it. Think of one or two things that would make it where you're like, man, like that was the greatest year ever. 2025, it is our year, so why not make it so? Feel free to email us, literally email at thepodcast.com. I'll read it on the show. We only have a few emails, so why not? What would make 2025 the greatest year of your life, boys? And if you don't want to go deeply personal, you also can just be like, you know, the Yankees winning the World Series or whatever.
No. It's just, I mean, it's a deep quote. I'm like, oh, man.
I know. That's what I'm trying to buy you time. I was like, I'll just talk as long as I can. But yeah, it's tough. And honestly, I don't know that I even have an answer right now. But
I don't know that I do believe, like, it's weird because I like the idea of the question, what would make it the greatest year of your life? But I don't know. I struggle with like that term in general because it's like, well, every year can be the better year, you know?
Exactly.
So, but I also agree with the term. I like the idea of like, what would make it the best year ever?
Yeah. That's BC's motto, ever to excel. You know, you're getting better over time. Matt, I'll throw him a lifeline.
I got the mic back on.
There you go. No, you're fine.
Okay.
I'm just, my mind's racing. Like, I have one I'm not going to bring up on here, obviously, but, man, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Ted, you got
time. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I'm not real. I just feel like I'm, you know, I'm kind of on that path. It is a tough comparison thing, but like, I just got to keep doing what I'm doing. Like, Ted's coming down for the first time down here. I'm like so pumped. You're just like such a big figure in my life's journey. And to just like show you what I'm doing with it all now is just, yeah. I'm just so amped. And then we're going to like Europe for 2 weeks to see Linkin Park and meet up with Red Bull, who's going to ride his bike across Europe and, you know, take the train to all these places. And like, you know, work's going as good as imaginable. So I just kind of feel like I'm, you know, doing the best I can to set it in motion. I've had some high highs in the past. So that's when I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I should probably, like, something about making more money somehow comes in. But, like, I'm making more money than I ever have this season. I'm not living like it because I'm saving up for Europe. But, like, yeah, money seems like a cop-out. Like, I'm not that worried about it. I'm just like, dude, this is going to be the best year ever. Ted's coming down. I'm going to Europe. Like, where I've arrived with my career, and you know, I just gotta keep the train on the tracks.
It's all happening.
Yeah
And I'm with Matt. Like, probably part of mine is just this year I made a real promise to just like get back to just doing stuff I want to do, right? So like, I kind of was hemming and hawing, but like, going to Vegas was dope. Like, I am pumped to go down to Palm Springs and chill with Matt and stuff, and like, yeah, I don't know. If it's a festival I want to go to, like, I'm just going to go.
You know, see, like, the end of July.
Yeah, right? I mean, like, look, you got to balls up sometimes. Just go, I'm wearing this cowboy hat.
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing this Noggin Boss.
Right? Exactly, man.
Dude, the Noggin Boss will be a turning point for 2020 vibe. We'll look back on that as, like, the fateful moment where, like, Ted kicked it into high gear and everything just fell into place from there.
Dude, I mean, you're totally right.
Yeah, I literally, it's funny you say that. Like, the new guy we have working with us, we got some things on the men's room. He's taking a lot of video. Like, a big part of the video from the live show last week is me and the Noggin Ball and the giant hat. And like, and I kind of mess with him. I go, Tim, you don't have to put in that much footage of the giant hat. And he's like, it was the highlight of the day. It was the greatest thing. And then like, Mike and I were walking out, and I go, I fucking love that hat.
Noggin Boss.
And I love that guy had no idea the promotional value he would get. He just liked you. He could just tell you're a cool dude. He's like, take it, dude.
Just make sure you wear it at the game.
Right? Well, like, Matt, you know Jerry that runs Big Dogs, like the hot dog truck.
Okay.
So, like, you know, he's at some of our stuff. He's buddies with Brad and Taryn. And he was at our event, and he's like, where's your cowboy hat? Because he was up at Stanwood. And I was like, hang on 10 minutes. I got a big hat coming up for you. Honestly, my hat game is sick these days, too. I've been I already bought a hat for summer. It's like it's got the rope. It's got a blue crab on it, but it's just sitting and chilling.
On it. I mean, it is your year. It's our year.
It's our year. It's everybody's year, man. It's 2025.
2025, baby. Let's go. I'll
tell you what, 2020 vibe crushes at a pool in Vegas and at a dead show. But he's like, you're right, it is 2025. I'm like, I know.
Take that one home with you.
Write that
back
down.
Back to Kentucky.
All right. We'll be back next week for MCTP, for Cobb and Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.